But the master of filled with swift transition. Not a better mood can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, keep my earthly friends for safe. Still more costly to Him. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Loveth not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Still to gain the heavenly treasures, they will never pass away. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And so will you. Oh, to God's unchanging hand.
Hallelujah.
Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal.
Amen.
Just forgive me. I didn't put myself together. I'm just coming from work. But I just said, when you have a testimony in your hand, it's very hard to not give it out.
Amen.
about a few months ago, I just went through said something that I didn't understand. It was just a lot of pressure from basically everywhere, and I was really stressed to a point where I got to a place where I didn't understand why. And I would go, it was like from home, from work, from every angle. And I started wondering, I said, God, did I do something wrong? The first thing you start thinking is maybe you've done something wrong, and you start searching. And it broke my heart so much because I kept searching and searching. And you start picking yourself apart to say, you know, all your imperfections and thinking that that's the reason why. And even the comfort that you usually get from like brothers and sisters around, you know, even everywhere, I was getting none of that. I was completely isolated. And for me, it was very hard. And I kept wondering, I said, you just feel like you're lost, completely lost in silence. So being a tough cookie that I am, I just kept going. and then it got to a point where I think I was physically sick. And I noticed myself, like, I think it's a good thing or it's a bad thing, I don't know, to be in a place where you know, when you know certain symptoms and what they mean, it's a bit harder because you kind of know and you're like, what is happening? So I remember trying to run it through my colleagues to say, is it just me or this is what's happening to me? Am I sick? And everyone in the hospital got scared. They were like, you need to do your blood work, you need to do your blood test. You know, and they didn't want to, you know, say too much, look, just do your blood test. You know, and at first I didn't. I said, I'm not going to do it, I'll just pray. And then I just prayed.
Amen.
And then I said, well, I'll keep going by faith. But because there was so much stress and pressure, that wasn't helping. And when I was at work, I think one of my consultants, the one that noticed, and said, look, can I talk to you? And then I went to speak to her, and she says, I think you need to go through certain tests. Are you okay? And I said, I'm okay. And she says, no, I think you need to do a bit of blood work, you know? You know, you've been exhausted and you've not been yourself lately. And she didn't want to tell me too much. She says, have you ever done your blood test? I said, I've done my blood test before. Everything has been okay. And she said, okay, unless you don't want. And I said, no, I don't want. And then a few weeks later, my other consultant said almost the same thing. And then I got worried. And then I said, okay, I'll do the blood test. And then they just took a whole sample of my blood to check, to just a whole profile. And it showed a couple of things were off. I'm trying to bring it down to be simple. A couple of things were off, which was pointing towards something of a cancer nature. And they were like, that's very bizarre. We're not actually thinking down that road, but I think you have to do all the tests, all the pathology tests, and my consultants offered to do it for free, and they said you should do all of it for free here. You know, we don't want you stressed around and everything. And they did, and then we started. So now it takes a while, it takes months sometimes. The pathology part takes a while. So that was a very long wait, and a very painful long wait, because the first blood was, everything was just pointing in certain different directions. So in the first few weeks, they managed to rule out that it's not this, it's not that, it's not... They were not sure what it is, but I remember all the symptoms I had, like, I had over the night, like, I would wake up in the morning, and it's as if somebody threw a bucket of water on me. My sheets were totally wet around me, and I was confused because I wasn't hot or anything, and I didn't have a fever or anything. And they checked my thyroid, it was okay, they checked everything, and then what was left then, which is the most sensitive test, was the pathology part, which takes a long time. And I waited and waited and waited very painfully. And I remember last week, I knew this, the coming week was the week where my test results would start coming in day by day. And I came in the same special here, just to as courage, and because I was just holding on to God saying he can make everything against the odds, although all the blood tests are very obviously pointing to that, but God can go against the odds.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really expected my blood test to come back negative, but all of them came back negative.
Amen.
And I just said, I have to thank God.
Amen.
My blood tests were all very obviously positive, and I think one of the days it really hit me. I came here and I got prayed for by Andrew. It was on a Wednesday, and by Andrew asked, "What's wrong, sister?" But because it's never an official diagnosis, I didn't say to him anything. I just said, "I think I'm unwell," and he said, "What's wrong, sister?" And I couldn't say, but I said, "No, I have the diagnosis, but then the final test is not there, so I don't want to say that, you know, pray for me, I have some sort of cancer or some sort of thing." So then he just prayed for me, and I believe the way he prayed for me, he just prayed against every devil that was hiding. And I, from the very day he prayed for me on a Wednesday, I was worse on the Thursday and the Friday. And on the Saturday and the Sunday, I think the brother that came and everybody was lining up to get prayed for, and I was worse on that day, and I was standing, I remember standing there thinking, but if I go again, I've been prayed for already. The anointing oil, what does that mean? But everything in me wanted to come and get prayed for again, because everyone was lining up and getting prayed for by the visiting minister. But something just jumped in my soul and said, look, you just praise God because you prayed for it.
Amen. Amen.
So I remember when people prayed for, I was just going to keep praising God for the healing that I had not seen yet, because I was worse at that time.
Amen.
But somehow from the very Monday, all the symptoms were gone.
Amen.
I was waking up normal, everything was normal, all my energy back.
Amen.
Everything was normal. So all I was doing was waiting for the test to come
Amen.
Back.
Amen.
So I just thank God. Just that Wednesday prayer, Brian Andrew, I went tomorrow and pray. That's all I went for, and I just held on to that. And God just is an answering God.
Amen.
Hallelujah, he's an answering God.
us. So I think many people have been the same. That's everything works for good.
Amen.
For being in this house.
Exactly.
And we are very happy to celebrate this whole week.
Amen.
And thank you to see you again in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
We were blessed last Wednesday with the word of God, and we expect the same blessing today.
Amen.
So let's open our Bibles. The same readings we read last Wednesday, Romans 8, 19 to 23, and Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Romans 8, 19 to 23. For the earnest expectation of the creation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected him, the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and
travaileth
in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, born within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our God. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Amen.
That in at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we commit the service now into your hands for the leadership. Speak to us, O Lord, and listen to us, O Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let us sit here. So we started the topic last Wednesday because, as we know, we are in the week that led to the death, the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very significant, important week for every Christian, in every believer's life. It's a very significant week because it was in that week that our redemption was paid for.
That's right.
It was in that week that we became what we are today. So we were viewing now, we were studying a subject to see our Lord Jesus Christ, how he spent that week. Our subject was about the way to adoption. If Brother Wim was the slideshow. So it was about the way to adoption. Our first part was the last week of Jesus on earth. So we saw how he spent the week. We saw that he spent the whole week before, until to his arrest and his condemnation and his killing, he was staying in Bethany. Bethany was the town where Lazarus, Martha, and Mary lived.
Amen.
We saw that Bethany meant the house of misery. Bethany meant house of suffering. Mm. Bethany meant also house of grace.
Amen.
So it's very significant why our Lord Jesus chose the days just before he was arrested, killed, to live in Bethany, which was the house of suffering, the house of grace also. So he has to go through suffering to win grace. And if you study the history of Bethany, there was a special fruit. I don't know how you call it in English. It's called date. It's a fruit. I think everybody knows this. Right?
Amen.
And that fruit, it's very rich in iron. So he was going to offer himself to give his blood. So it was a symbol that he had to live in the life, in the city of death, where he could be enriched his natural blood, because it was going to be shed at Calvary.
Right.
So he lived in Bethany, which not only meant house of grace, but it was also house of blood. Amen. So, on the Saturday, we had the timeline there, the way he spent the week. John 12:1, 6 days before the Passover, he was eating with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany. The next day, always on John 12, he entered Jerusalem. And according to Moses' law, it was this day, 5 days before the Passover, that the lamb had to be selected and
Amen.
Brought into the temple to be observed, to be kept for 5 days to see that it was blameless.
Amen.
So, on 5 days before the Passover, Jesus, as the Lamb of God, brought himself into the temple, into Jerusalem, to be shown as the lamb that will be sacrificed for the Passover.
Amen.
And if you read through, you'll see that every single day from the day he entered Jerusalem to the day he was arrested, every single day he went to the temple. Even though he was sleeping in Bethany, but every morning he would wake up and go to the temple. He knew that there was a plot being prepared against him. But he didn't avoid the temple.
Amen.
He didn't avoid going to Jerusalem.
Amen.
He knew that he was on earth for a purpose, which was Father's business. We read in Philippians that he has been exalted above all. To get to that that level of glory, he had to go through a certain path, which was the path of Gethsemane, which was the path of the cross, death, burial. And then only came the resurrection. So he went every single day. And during this day that he was going to the temple, most of the major doctrines of Christianity were taught during that time. He spoke about the 10 virgins. He spoke about Matthew 24, his second coming. He spoke about many, many major doctrines, the last judgment, the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Everything. He spoke a lot about this. And he was always referring to the Father. This is the time in his ministry he spoke more about the Father than any other time. My Father is greater than me. In the house of my Father there's many houses. Who saw me saw the Father. He was so busy doing the Father's business, even though death was expecting him.
Amen.
Death was at the end of the world, but he was not concerned about him dying. He was more concerned about doing the Father's business.
Amen.
The lamb was selected there, and the lamb had to be kept 5 days so that they could see that he was blameless. He went to the temple. He argued day after day with the Pharisees. They came with traps so that they could find the fault in him. But he was found blameless.
Amen.
So that Pilate could say, I can't find anything to condemn
Amen.
This man. Even Caiaphas couldn't say anything that would condemn him.
Amen.
He was always standing with the same people that were trying to trap him, but he was found blameless.
Amen. Amen.
He was the perfect Lamb of God.
Right.
He was going to be sacrificed on this day.
Amen.
During these 5 days, he has to be kept of salvation. They bought him many traps. Should we pay the taxes? Should we do this? Should we do this? But he answered them always by, it is written.
Amen.
He stayed fully standing in the word.
Amen.
So that when the time came, it wasn't important for him to protect his life.
Amen.
He could have done anything because from his entrance, from his entry in Jerusalem, you can see that Jesus he became a very popular man. He became famous because people came to welcome him. Even the people in the town were asking, who is that man? No, he's a prophet from Nazareth. People say, but what good can come out of Nazareth? He became popular because of that. Even people, and there was a lot of expectation behind that. Among the crowd, there were those people who believed that he's coming to cast the Romans away. Because they were under bondage. There were people who thought, we saw that the zealots, them they were expecting, because they were kind of rebels, they were expecting an uprising. So they thought Jesus, since he was coming, and one more fact, Jesus among his disciples, he has a zealot. So it was a reason for them to believe, since our brother James is there, so this man, and he never spoke against the zealots.
That's right.
He spoke against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, never against the zealots, and he had one of them among his disciples. So there was a reason for them to believe that this man one day will give us an instruction to raise against the Romans.
Amen.
So when he was entering Jerusalem, they were also expecting that something will happen. The tensions were very bad in the city. He could have used that to protect his life. He could have used that opportunity because all those people, the Bible said the Pharisees were afraid of the mob. They wanted to arrest him, but they said, no, if we do, they're going to be a rebellion. He could have used that popularity to protect his life, not to be killed. But he did odd things. Instead of gaining the sympathy of these people, he went to the temple and destroyed the church. So, people may have lost their jobs. People may have gone through hunger. But we are waiting for you to give us deliverance. You are coming to do. So he lost that potential sympathy he could obtain from those people. So busy looking after the Father's business.
Hallelujah.
It didn't matter for him to gain people's sympathy. When they ask him, this is what should you pay tax or not? We said the zealots were expecting him to say we shouldn't pay tax. So it was a good opportunity for them to start an uprising. But they saw him saying, no, 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 to God what belongs to God. This is our
Lord.
They were disappointed. So that he became too isolated. No one could stand for him anymore.
Amen.
He knew why he came for.
Amen.
He came to do the Father's business.
Right.
Amen.
He didn't come to gain people's sympathy.
Amen.
So, we saw that the way he stands is weak. So that on the evening of the Passover, because according to Moses' law, the Passover was on the 14th day of the first month. But they were killing the lamb here, but the celebration of the Passover was happening actually on the following day, which was the feast of the unleavened bread. Because when they left Egypt, they left in hurry. So they couldn't celebrate on this evening. It was the evening of the Exodus. But the celebrations came when they have left already.
Amen.
That's why they were celebrating it on the 15th, which was the start of the 11th birth, which feast took 7 days. The first Saturday, the first Sabbath, the day after the first Sabbath, after Passover, was the beginning of the first one. So there were three major feasts happening in the same week. And those three major feasts coincided with major events in Christ's life.
Amen.
It was his arrest, his killing, his burial, and his resurrection.
Amen.
So that was the background from what we see. We saw last week, Wednesday. We just need to keep in mind that after all this, Jesus was exalted.
Amen.
His adoption, his positioning at the level of authority came after he proved a character.
Amen.
He proved he was worthy of receiving that power he was given.
Amen.
Today we're going to see a second part, which is the atonement. So, after he was arrested, killed, he suffered the cross, as we know. It was very painful, a very cold death. Then, he died. He was buried. As we know, we all know, death is rest. When you sleep, you go to rest. There's no walking when you go to sleep. When you are buried, you go to sleep. But it was not the case with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so busy, he was so concerned about the Father's business, that even in his death, he kept on doing the Father's business. Amen.
Amen.
Are we together?
Amen.
What Adam says, in the atonement, he wasn't idle when he was in the tomb. We think he was just laying there, dead, but he was down, still conquering.
Amen.
He went down and took the keys away from Satan. He's got the keys of both death and hell tonight.
Amen.
He said, because I live, you can live also. Amen.
Amen.
So after his death, that was not the end. The job was not done yet.
Amen.
He had to pay the price. That was job done. But he remembered, while in the tomb, no, the job is not finished yet.
Amen.
I have to carry on the job I was sent to do. My Father sent me with a commission.
Yes.
Amen.
I've not finished the commission yet.
Right.
On earth, the job is finished, but on this other side, there's a second part of the job I still have to do.
Amen.
So when he went into the grave, he was not idle, as the prophet said. Remember, he was buried here at the evening of this day, and he stayed in the tomb all this day. It was a Sabbath. People are supposed to rest. In the Sabbath, the law says, Moses said, you shouldn't do any work. But he knew that there was a job to do.
Amen.
There was still a job to finish. Him, the master of the Sabbath, he knew that I still have something to do. So he didn't care that it was a Sabbath.
Amen.
He went, and he went because people of the old, saints of the Old Testament, they've still been held somewhere. They couldn't go in the presence of the Lord. So he came not only for the living, but he came also for the dead. Amen.
Amen.
So for the living, the job was done. But the Father's business was not finished yet.
That's right.
Abraham, Joseph, Job,
right.
Moses.
Mm.
They still, because they went into the grave expecting, amen.
Mm.
They went with expectation that the Shiloh will come. That the stone, Daniel knew him as the stone that came with no hand.
Mm.
Everybody saw him in his day, and they were expecting that man to come.
Mm. Mm.
So the Job couldn't finish only when he shed his blood on earth, but there was a second part of the Job to be done.
Amen.
He went after suffering, after all that he went through. He said, no, these people, they've been faithful.
Mm.
I can't leave them in the grave. Mm. I can't leave them in those regions where they're staying. Mm. In all their own time, they stayed faithful with God. Because there's only one, the principle is the same for everyone. You show a good character. You show that you are a father of, the son of your father.
Mm.
That's what the adoption looks. The father puts you under a tutor.
Mm.
The tutor brings regular reports.
Mm.
How is my child doing? Ah, it's very good. How is my child doing? Ah, I see, yes, reached such a level. Such level, such level. And at the end, when the father sees that the child is, you know, reflecting my image, is acting according to what I want him to be, there's a reward. So all the saints of the Old Testament, they received a good testimony from the tutor. They were expecting the reward, but they went into the tomb without receiving the reward. The reward was still to come. So, let's see a man like Job. He was so faithful in his day. Even though he went through a lot of sufferings, he showed a certain character.
Amen.
He didn't betray his God.
No.
He was a child that the tutor, about whom the tutor gave a very good testimony.
Uh-huh.
Not only the tutor, even the devil.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Even the enemy went when he went before God. God asked him, did you see my son? He said, yeah. He didn't say he's a bad guy. He found an excuse. He's good, but you know, it's because. But there was nothing he could say against God.
Amen.
So if the devil could say that, what about the Holy Ghost?
Mm.
Amen.
So, Job, he went into the tomb, and the time for him to die was wondering, what will happen? I've suffered enough. What, if you read the book of Job, just questioning. What is life worth?
Mm.
What's the reason for coming on earth? What is? But God gave him a vision.
Amen.
Amen.
And he stood after the vision, say, I know that he didn't believe.
Amen.
And at the end, he will stand. Mm. So Job went with that expectation in him.
Mm.
He couldn't be disappointed.
Mm.
Because God has to keep his word.
That's right.
Listen what Barabbas says about him. He said he knew he was going to die. And he said, Lord, there's hope in a tree if it blows down. He knew his life has been useful. God never gave us our lives just to hang around this. He gives it to be useful for him. Do something. Tell somebody else. If you can't talk, whistle him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Or something. Give some impression somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
And Job was a type of a man that was useful.
Amen.
That's what God is expecting from you.
Amen.
From us. That's what the Holy Ghost, our tutor, is expecting. Do something. Don't just be idle. You are whether you are useful or you are useless. And I don't believe there's useless people.
No.
Whether you are useful or you are wicked. You know, because when you are useless, you are a burden to someone. So you are harming that someone. So you are a negative force to that someone. So whether you are useful or there's no neutral position. Be useful to something. If God gave you a good voice, use it for His glory. If God gave you some intelligence in a certain way, use it for His glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
We saw there was Abraham, our father of faith. Another child that was expecting a reward, was expecting an adoption for having been good, for having been faithful to the father.
Amen.
Abraham, I think, if I'm not mistaken, circumcision started with Abraham.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord man, I only see my children, little ones, when they get circumcised. I was thankful. But that old man, you know, a certain God, because he was not a believer to begin with. He was living in the middle of his people when they were worshipping their gods. But a certain God came and speak to him. Abraham lived. He parts lips. Abraham do this. He do that. Abraham get circumcised. God, circumcised. He didn't doubt. He went and got circumcised. He was so faithful to the Father in everything that when he went and defeated the kings and made Melchizedek, you know, he came from a victory. He brought whatever he won from the victory, many riches. No one told Abraham to give a tithe. Amen.
Amen.
But by revelation, when he met Melchizedek, he said, I will give you a tithe of all my Jew. Amen.
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 Are we children of Abraham?
Amen.
Amen. What is it about our tithes? Because we mentioned a few things. Because many times it's good to speak about history. But
Amen.
Let's bring history today.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's easy to give a tithe of 10 euros. It's very easy. A euro. But when you get 1 million euros, will you give a tithe? Let's not talk about 1 million. Let's be realistic, okay? 2,050 euros. Sorry, 2,500 euros. 450. Look at the bills. Look at your, I don't know. Is it easy to pay that? Listen to what I'm saying. Because we are on our way to adoption. That's
right. Right.
The way to adoption, the Holy Ghost is observing you in everything, all the requirements of the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Most of the time we neglect these things.
Amen.
No, we look at mysteries, the seven seals. The seven tongues, rapture.
Amen.
These small things. And tithing is not a small thing.
That's right.
The prophet says, the Bible first. In Deuteronomy 16:16. I'm going to read. 3 times a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacle, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Amen.
Hallelujah.
In my friend's Bible, they say, they shall not appear empty and
Amen.
Amen. Every man shall give as he is able.
Amen.
According to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. Amen.
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 It was the law. It was in the laws of the Lord. You can't come to the house of the Lord empty-handed.
Amen.
Please, my brother and sister, keep it in mind.
That's right.
Because most of the time we fail on that. We come to the house of the Lord. We just unrealistic. You look at the way you are sitting there. There are expenses for you to come and sit. There is a cost involved in you sitting there. The rent of this room has to be paid. Gas, electricity. And we are not making you to pay, but you need to understand that you can't go to the house of the Lord empty handed.
That's right.
Because the church needs money to be run, isn't it?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So you can't come to the house of the Lord empty handed. Yes, Brother Eddie, I'll give my offering. Okay. What do you do as an offering? Most of the time is our leftovers. Most of the time we just bring 2 euros, 20 cents. You know, you went to Next or Down Store or whatever. The change they give you. You say, okay, 8 euros left. So you take 2 euros, you 2, myself 2. No, my brothers. That's not the way we should do it.
No.
That's not the way we should give to God.
Amen.
We should give the best of ourselves.
Hallelujah.
We should give the best portion of ourselves. Even tithing, the Bible says it was the first portion. It was not something that you were giving after all your expenses. God comes first.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
God comes first. You give to God first, and then you go to do your expenses.
Amen.
The prophet says, in God being misunderstood, can a Christian go to heaven if he or she doesn't pay the tithes? I could not say yes or no to that. That's a problem. Because if you can say yes or no, I would be on the yes side or on the no side. I know I didn't pay, I know I paid. But I can't say yes or no. But I do believe that every Christian is obligated to pay tithing. Because it is a commandment of the Lord.
Amen.
And blessed is all they that do all his commandments. Amen.
Amen.
That they might have a right to enter into the life, the tree of life. I do believe that tithe paying is essential to the Christian experience. Well, I'm carrying on. There's another post there where he says, now with our head bowed, not only our head but our hearts, and every member of this church that come to here regular and support it with your tithe and offering, which is considered as a member of this church. There's another one where he says, because we need to get these things very but you know, I feel like this, that a member of a church, their first obligation is with their tithes and offerings.
Amen.
Is to support their church. If you are a member of these fine churches that are represented here, you support your church. That's your first duty to God. Bring your tithes and offering into the house of the Lord. And the storehouse, you surely know what it is. It's where you get your spiritual food.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Forgive me. But that's the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Speak the word.
Amen.
And you'll be blessed if you obey.
Amen.
Please, brother, don't bring your leftovers. We don't want to despise anything. But in within yourself, you know what you give. Oh, brother, that woman gave 3 coins. Yes, but that all that she gave.
Right.
It was 100% of her income. But when you give 100 euros, that's just a figure. What percentage it is of your income? Don't compare to that woman. She gave 3 coins because it was all that she had.
Amen.
Let's carry on.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Now, there was another person there waiting. Moses. He forgot. You know, he forsake everything in his life.
Amen.
the master's business. If you follow Moses' life, Moses could then become a pharaoh in Egypt. He was on the line because he grew up in the royal court. If anything happened that everybody is killed in the family, the next person who would become pharaoh would be Moses. But Moses, he looked at the calling that was in him, father's business. He said, okay, becoming a pharaoh is good, but if I die today, what will happen to me? I'll be mummified, okay, and put into a pyramid and stay there. Have you ever seen those corpses from the pyramids?
Yeah.
They still exist today.
Mm.
They are useless. They are shapeless. They are, you know, they are scary.
Yeah.
But Moses knew, accepting that becoming a pharaoh is nothing compared to the glory that had to come when the Savior, when the Messiah would come and bring them out of the tomb.
Amen.
So he accepted to reject the glory of the Pharaoh house, to go into the desert, live there, start a new life from scratch, and becoming a shepherd as he became. He knew. So the Holy Spirit could look at Moses and say, Father, I give you a good destiny for this man.
Amen.
He's a child of God. He has been obeying. He has been obedient to the requirements. The time comes, Moses, God take Moses out of the sea and go to rest. So Jesus was obligated to all those faithful men to go and do something for them.
Amen.
Joseph, he was a dignitary in Egypt. All the honor in Egypt, everything fine. And he could enjoy a very nice tomb in Egypt because it was a second in the row after Pharaoh. He could have been built a pyramid and rest there. But he knew that, no, this is not the end of my life.
Hallelujah.
There's something better.
Amen.
The Lord will visit you at my bones.
Amen.
Have you noticed that Joseph said, my bones? So it means he was not mummified. He refused to be mummified because he was a dignitary. That time, all the dignitaries were mummified. But he refused. Said, no, this body, I have a better one waiting for me.
Hallelujah.
So take my bones and bring them. Bring them where? To Palestine. Listen to what God wants to say. All these saints of old, of the Old Testament, they all asked to be buried in Palestine. Now notice quickly as we follow in the atonement. Went back in the Old Testament, and those who believed and worshipped and died in the faith, waiting for that time. The reason the prophet did that and wanted to be buried in Palestine, they knew that the resurrection was not going to be in Egypt. Amen.
Amen.
It was going to be in Palestine alone. Amen.
Amen.
So even though they were faithful, Joseph, even though he showed to be a good child, but he wanted to make sure that he will rest in Palestine.
Hallelujah.
He'll be buried in Palestine.
Amen.
Jacob, even if he was a faithful child, but after his death, he asked him, he died in Egypt, but they made a journey and went to bury him in the same ground as Abraham, Job, Sarah, and all his fathers in Palestine.
Amen.
What I want to say is, because they knew the resurrection will happen in Palestine alone.
Amen.
It's very important.
Amen.
Your burial place. You must be spiritual to understand.
Amen.
I don't care where this body will be buried. But I want to make sure that I'm buried in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because it's only in Christ that the resurrection will take place.
Amen. Amen.
So the saints, they wanted to make sure that they were expecting. And the Lord, when he went there, in the tomb, he went to work. There was still a job for him to do. Time is hard one. So, Brother Adam says, he went into the region of the lost. He said, here he goes, in the same sermon, the atonement. Where did he live when he left? The Bible said, he ascended, he went and preached to the souls that were in prison, that repented not in the long suffering of the days of Noah. His soul, his spirit, his theophany of his own being went down. Now the prophet said, let's follow him. We are going to make a journey now with him down there. Would you like tonight to follow him for a few minutes? Let's see where he went. Are you ready to go with him?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Don't be afraid.
Amen.
He came out, so we will come out.
That's right. Amen.
Just below the regions of the mortal beings lay the realms of demon power. So he went to that region. Just above lay the souls of the angels. So he's showing the levels down. Below it lay the very domain of Satan, hell. Then just above us lays the Holy Spirit. He's showing now we are living in this hell. Underneath us, the lost. Underneath there, the realm of the demons. And under them, Satan himself. Now he says, above us lies the Holy Spirit. Then, under the altar lays the souls of the just man.
That's right.
Then next is God himself. One going downward, one going upward. The two spirits are here on earth influencing the people on this earth. Now, when Jesus died, he goes up down there. I can see him on that Friday afternoon after his death. Knock on the door of the regions of the lost. Let's follow him for a minute. The doors open. There was women. There was men. There were young ladies. They were old. They were all together in that hideous place called the prison of the lost souls. Would you like to be there, my brother?
No.
It's a hideous place.
Amen.
But in that mournful place, Jesus walked to the door. Everything had to witness that he was the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he had been preached to the Lord. To them in the long suffering of in the days of Noah. He knocks at the door. He said, I am he who Enoch spoke of. I am the seed of the woman that was to bruise the serpent's head. Every word of God has been fulfilled. I've just died yonder at Calvary, and I've purchased my church. And the one that Enoch spoke of, I am he. And they were without mercy, without hope, because they had transgressed. And the door was shut in their face. You know, before, I was wondering myself, when the Bible says, he went to preach in the region of the Lord. I was thinking maybe when he preached, they were saved, this soul. They accepted. But when I read this, I got the confirmation that he just went to testify to them that I was the one you rejected. And since you rejected me in your time, there's no mercy for you anymore.
That's right.
The prophet says, and the door was shut in their face. Amen. It was too late for them.
Amen.
There's no second chance. This is our time to take full opportunity. Amen. Take full advantage of what God is
about. Amen.
So he goes on down into the regions of demons, on down to the very gate of hell, and knocks at the door. This is when he was in the tomb. Amen.
Amen.
He was not sleeping in the tomb. He was not, taking a rest in the tomb. he was doing the Father's business.
Hallelujah. Amen.
My brother, Jesus is sitting up high in glory. We worship him. We sing for him. All the angels go before, bow before him. But he got to that level. Before he got there, he has to go through this.
Amen.
He showed full obedience to the Father's commission. Don't forget that in our mind. Let's keep it in mind.
Amen.
That's the way we have to go through. Of full obedience. That's the way to adoption.
Amen.
So when he got there, and he notes, when he left that region of the Lord's soul, he went down to see the Master himself. He said, and he knocks at the door of hell. And when he did, the devil came out. And I can just hear him say, oh, so, finally you are right. I sure thought I had you when I killed him. I can hear him say. So the devil was happy. He thought, because he saw all the saints in the Old Testament. He make a lot of noise on earth. Elijah raising dead people. And then he comes. Oh, Abel, he comes in the region where he still had some control. Somewhere he could come. He said, okay, even that guy who is making a lot of noise now, healing people, raising the dead, that Jesus, I'm waiting for him. He will come. I know them. They just make noise like this and then at the end they will come. So when he saw Jesus coming, he said, oh, at last you are here. I knew you would come. So enter. Baruan says, and I can hear Jesus say, Satan, come here.
Amen.
Jesus is the boss now. Reaches over. Grab that key of death and hell off his side. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hang it on his own side. He said to Satan, I want to serve notice on you. You've been a bluff long enough.
Hallelujah.
I am the virgin born son of the living God. Amen. My blood is still wet on the cross. Amen. And the full debt is paid. You have no rights anymore.
Amen.
You are stripped.
Amen.
Give me those keys. Amen.
Amen.
So, when he went down, he knew there was still the major part of the job was done. So, paying the price, shedding the blood, the major part was done. Now he went, the devil didn't understand yet because shedding the blood, it was nothing for him. He saw Abel's blood being shed. He saw many prophets' blood being shed. So for him, it didn't mean anything for him. But he didn't do right his plan. So when he sees this one come, he said, no, now we have played enough. Give me the keys. And stripped him of all his power. That's right. He took the keys, turns around and gave him a good, healthy kick. Amen.
Amen.
I love it.
Amen.
He gave him a deadly kick.
Amen.
Are you his son?
Amen.
Are you his daughter?
Amen.
So you have that power, amen.
Amen.
You have that power to give him a knock today, amen.
Amen.
He has been for long time.
Amen. Amen.
We have to give him now.
Amen.
To get to that, you have to understand who you are.
Amen.
And if you know who you are, you will conduct yourself in a way that the tutor will say, yes.
Amen.
Hear ye him. Amen.
Amen.
Because power comes only when you show a certain character.
That's right.
In the army, you cannot be promoted general if you don't show a certain character in leading people. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when we joined the army, from the first day, they could see who is a leader, who is not a leader. You know, I'm sorry, but me, I was told, you will put you as a instructor because you think too much. In the army, they don't like people that think too much. They like people that obey. In the army, you obey. Okay? So those people with great courage, they know how to go and die. I was not that kind of person. So they say, you're going to be a teacher. So they want to see a certain character. They want to see that if we give him this grace, if we give him this position, will he be able to handle it? Because on the battlefield, when the captain falls, someone, because it, you know, there must be a leader. That's a golden rule in the army. There must be a leader. When the captain falls, someone has to rest. You obey me now. Even though I'm a corporal, but since the captain didn't show enough courage, I'm the leader now. Everybody must obey him. You have to show a certain character to be given authority. So if you don't show, your father will never trust you. You will still be his daughter. You will still be his son, but you'll be very limited in what you can do. So that's why we have to understand who you are. We have to understand our position. The Lord gave him a deadly kick. And he took the key. And he says, stays in here. I'm the boss from now on. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what our Lord Jesus was busy doing.
Amen.
When he was in the farm.
Amen.
There was still a job for him to do. The father's business was his major concern, even in death, in his life, everything, even before the foundation of the world, when they ask him, who can go? Because they are lost. If nothing is done, the job is dead. He said, I will go.
Amen.
What would you like to do? I would like to be a lamb. Before the foundation of the world. The father's business was his major concern.
Amen.
That's why he obtained a major reward, being exalted above all heavens. We need to look in our own lives today. Because the way to adoption is the way of responsibility.
Amen.
It's the way where we have to show that we are worthy to take our father's authority.
Amen.
Because if you don't show a certain attitude, we'll still remain a child. Listen to what
Amen.
Says. Your childship, I think it can be said like, you say like that, a childship, a sonship. Okay. It won't be taken away from you, but when I'm saying, in spiritual adoption, and here is a point that I want to you to drive home. May the Holy Spirit take it to every heart of you believers. Just because you are a believer, certainly you have everlasting life. God said so. But would you want to just get in a job saved by the skin of your teeth? Would you just want to come before the Father and the talent that he given every one of you as being negligent? You just didn't use it. Or you let something else stand in your way. You let the little petty things that means nothing to you, after a little fuss and stew and argument and church differences, take the meekness and gentleness from your life. Would you want to stand before the Father like that? I don't believe you would. I don't believe that you would do it. Neither would I. So you don't want to appear before the Lord as being a negligent person. If the Father has given you a talent, use it.
That's right.
Amen.
Use it and show to the Father that you are worthy of what he has given you.
Amen.
You are a parent in your children's raising. God is observing.
That's right.
As parents, the Holy Ghost, our tutor, is observing you. The prophet says, maybe you are a housewife. If you are, God made you a teacher of your children. Do a good job after, out of it. Regardless of what you have to do, do it well.
Amen.
You know, we are too busy in this digital age. You know, texting, chatting. It's many very important things that we have to do. But never forget that the heavens is in you. Do you always pray with your children? Do you read your Bible to your children? What can your children say about you? That is always busy. I know we live in a life where we have to work, we have to do something. But don't let that overtake
Amen.
Your responsibility as a parent.
Amen.
Amen.
You read, you preach to your children. You have to show them that this life is nothing without the word of God. It's not only two words. But the children are very good observers.
That's right.
Whatever you say, they will come up and say, let me say this verse. How come? Sometimes when I drive, when it's the traffic light green, it was very fast. It becomes orange. And then just red. There you go. You hear that? You thought maybe they didn't see. Dad, you just caught the red light. I said, no, it was orange. No, it was red. No, it was orange. Okay, I did. Okay. What? You know. So they are good, very good observers. And what we do, what we say, must match what we do. Have they ever seen you reading your Bible? Have they ever seen you praying? Or the only thing they know about that, Oma, is that Sunday we always get late to church. It's only when the brothers have sung the song, the law, everything, the offering is gone. Your offering you always give to the deacon. No, that's not showing a good character. God will not trust you. In this, what we call petty things, and they really do matter for God.
Amen.
For the worldly things, we are always on time. If you bring your child late to the school, you'll be in trouble. And all of us here, I don't think there's someone who every day this child is always late in school. And school starts at 9 o'clock sometimes, and schools at 8. We manage to wake up on time, to do everything on time, give them breakfast, do everything, and bring them in school on time. Sunday school is after. But in some way, we are always late. We can make it for school at 9 o'clock, but Sunday is after 9. Oh, sorry, after. But we managed to come late. No, you know, I make breakfast for the children, but you still make breakfast for the kids. And there are others who don't even have children. You know, there's an excuse for parents. Oh, you know, the children, you know, I didn't sleep. But you, youngsters, what is your excuse? What is your excuse? God is watching because you will be witnesses for the youth of this generation.
That's right.
And God has given you that responsibility to be an example. Timekeeping is very, very, very important. You are coming to meet the Lord. We have to make it, we have to show respect.
That's right.
We have to show some consideration for the Lord. So, it's very important for us to understand these things. Because if we don't, we are just, you know, delaying our adoption. Nature, the creation, is expecting.
Amen.
We read with you in Romans. The whole creation has been subjected to vanity because of us.
Mm-hmm.
But they feel, the heaven is groaning. You can see thunder. You can see the lion roaring.
Mm.
Where is Adam? Mm. Where is that Son of God who was giving orders here? Mm. Everything is upside down.
Mm.
They are waiting because they know if they are in that condition, it's because something is wrong in the nature.
Right.
And the person, those who are meant to restore that order in nature, it's you and me.
Mm.
But what are we doing?
Mm.
What are we doing?
Right.
We are so distracted in these petty things that we forget what we are here for. To finish, there's a quote very important where the prophet said something that we have to keep in mind. He says, sorry, I know sir, upside down now. It says, now, I wonder tonight, my dear brother, sister, have you thought that over sincerely? Do you realize that you only live because he lives? Have you appreciated it enough to offer up yourself and say, God, here I am, a sinner, be merciful to me? Have you ever accepted that all-sufficient sacrifice? Have you ever told him you love him? Does it hurt your feelings when you do wrong? If you've ever come to that experience now, if you ever come to that experience in this atonement, when our time is getting away, just feeling fine, but I'm wondering if you haven't ever received Christ in your personal Savior, in your personal life, I wonder if you will do it while we bow our heads just a minute. He says, it's just a little story, because many times we play around. God, the word is being preached, he said, I'll do it tomorrow, postpone it, I'll do it tomorrow. You are negligent, you are careless. He says, I have a little story comes to my mind. Some time ago, a little boy was sitting in a wagon. A gun fired down the street, and the horses ran away and was going over a cliff. A young cowboy ran and stopped the horses just before the wagon went over the cliff, because it had a baby in it. He saved the little one's life. Many years after that, standing in the courthouse, this same boy has done the same baby that was saved from the cliff. The same boy had done a crime, took the road that's wrong, been guilty. He was drinking, gambling, shot a man, and was guilty, found guilty. And the judge raised up and said, I sentence you to hang by your neck until your mortal life is gone. So it was a boy, was saved when he was a little boy from a cliff, but he took his life very carelessly. He started doing bad things, killing and this and that. So he went into trouble, he was brought into court, and the judge sentenced him to be hanged. That young man said, Judge! And he broke the court procession. And as he jumped over the rail and fell at the judge's feet for mercy, he said, Judge, look at my face. Don't you know me, Judge? He said, No, son, I don't. He said, You remember a certain little boy's life that you saved many years ago from a runaway horse? He said, Yes, I remember it. He said, I am that boy. He said, "Church, you saved my life then. Save me now." The judge looked down at him and said, "Son, that day I was your savior. Today I am your judge."
Amen.
Today he is our savior and sinners. Tomorrow he may be your judge. Let's think over it now. As the music plays. Amen. The musicians can come.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You are weary, come.
Amen.
Is now your Savior. Answer to that voice.
Amen.
Don't despise this calling. Because there will come a day when you will be your judge. And mercy will be no more.
Amen.
Heed to that voice and come home.
Amen.
The prophet says, that is, then if the child did prove to be a real worthy of the things of the father held over his kingdom, and has been a real faithful child, then the truth of God's message to the father, oh, your son, oh, that's the message I want to hear, I want him to bring for you and I. Oh, your son, his whole thoughts is upon you. His whole thoughts is upon you. All he's trying to do is to please you. He's so interested in your affair till it's hard to hold him down. I'd rather be just a little overzealous about the Father's kingdom than to have no zeal at all for him. I'd rather overwork anyway. With our heads bowed. Let's just think even ourselves how we have been so careless when it comes to the Father's business. How we have given priority to our own agendas, neglecting the Father's business. It's not late yet. We have still mercy laying there waiting for us. The Lord is faithful. He will forgive us our carelessness and he will give us another chance because we're still under his mercy.
Surely,
let's stay in the spirit of prayer.
Yes.
It's the holy week. It's the week in which our Lord suffered.
Amen.
That went into the tomb, but also the week he came out of the tomb.
Amen.
Victorious. So let's consecrate ourselves. Let's stay in the name of prayer. Let's come on Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord.
Amen.
In a very prayerful spirit.
Amen.
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 Lord, we have celebrated that. Like Brother said, where we would be now?
Amen.
If not that Lord Calvary, all of us would be in this, one of those probably souls in the prison, Lord.
Amen.
But your God, Lord, that thing you did for us on Calvary, saves us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, Lord, for hearing from you today.
Amen.
Words of encouragement.
Yes.
Words of correction.
Amen.
Lord, house of yours is a house of correction.
That's right. Amen.
All of us come always in the right attitude. Because if we could be are fighting before we go to church, everyone would have stress in the church and everything would happen, Lord. But because the name of the church of us have a right attitude.
Amen.
Sometimes our minds could be on a different thing, so my brother said about lasagna or other things, so or read up for the church, but Lord, we are here to hear from you how we can
yes,
do
Lord.
Amen.
Because I believe everyone has desire is to have a closer walk.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we want to be closer to you. Lord, I want to thank you that we could hear from you.
Yes.
Today what we hear of what is it wasn't just a words of soft words. That was a word we need to hear.
Amen.
Because, Lord, we not just want to be a members of the church, Lord. Lord, we want to be good sons and good daughters.
Yes, Lord.
Help us.
Amen.
Lord, even tomorrow, we are meeting in the car. Lord, guide us.
Yes,
Lord, it could be, even in that town, we could be, Lord, in 3-4 spots, Lord. We don't know where to go, Lord, but we want to be in you.
Yes.
Lord, help us, Lord, because we want to be in your business. Because
amen.
It's like the Laodicea is, Lord, it's about the pressure of life. And the pressure could be so hard for every each of us. But that's the reward. And keep doing his part, Lord. We want to do our part.
Amen.
Lord, help us and guide us. Even, Lord, on our ways back. Please be with us, Lord.
Amen.
Coming in for granted, Lord. We're thinking like this is something easy, but Lord, we don't know what even now we have to put something into this place. This happens to pass, Lord, that easy and safe, Lord. Lord, please guide us, help us, Lord. And please bless the minister who will preach on Sunday.
Yes, Lord.
Keep aside, Lord, that we could again hear from you now.
Yes.
From,
amen.
From a man. From the Lord, we want to hear from you.
Yes.
Lord, help us, guide us, and bless us. Lord. Bless this church. Lord. Bless every ministry, Lord, that's here, every deacon, in every office.
Yes.
Lord,
yes.
Everything we need, Lord, is a shower of blessing for you. Lord, I'm thanking you for everything. Lord, for us. Guide us, and please, we want to hear words of correction every time. Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So we thank the Lord for Sister Vivian's testimony.
Amen.
The house of God.
Amen.
So don't forget, Sunday we have 2 services. The morning we have our longest Sunday service. It's our elder for the master.
Amen.
So let's stay in the spirit of prayer and let's come all together to move and fire from north, south, east, and west.
Amen.
Sunday should be a day of celebration.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't come, please don't come sad.
Mm.
We leave sadness there.
That's right.
If you want to take it, we'll take it anyway. But here Sunday, we want to sing, we want to celebrate.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because it's the feast of the first fruits.
Amen.
Our first fruits was, you know, waved.
Amen.
Above everything. Amen.
Fellowship, what a joy divine, living on the everlasting land. Oh, the blessedness, what a peace divine, living on the everlasting land. What have I to dread? Why?